thank you, Father. Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everyone that's here today. And we thank you for their lives. And we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their lives. And we thank you, Father, as they go into the new year, the 2018. We thank you, Father, that you're leading them and guiding them and showing them the way, and that you're helping them every single day. Father God, we thank you today as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us, and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And we thank you, Father, most of all, that we'll take the word of God that we hear. We'll take the love of Jesus, and we'll go out and share it with the lost and dying and hurting world. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation, revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you for that anointing that's here, that anointing that changes us, that anointing that sets us free, that anointing that makes everything okay in an instant. We thank you, Father, for it. And Father God, we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. It's our last service in 2017. In just a few hours, the clocks will move forward like the picture kind of depicts right here, and it will be 2018. I would say the ball would drop, but the ball's going to actually drop an hour before, you know, because it dropped in New York City. My wife hasn't figured that out yet, and of course, you know, here in Central Time Zone, what they actually do is delay it an hour, and so when you actually watch the ball drop, you're not actually watching the ball drop. Me being a big Dallas Cowboy fan, I actually heard a funny joke. For some of you that might know about the thing play last year, I said that Dez Bryant this year is going to drop the ball in New York City because he's used to doing that. Anyway, you know, it's 2018, and you know, and I'm going to deliver my annual New Year's message that pretty much say the same thing every year. But you know, you realize that when the clock strikes midnight, things don't really change that much. Now, we kind of pretend that, you know, once the new year comes, that everything just becomes different. But it really doesn't, because I guarantee you that any of those things that you charge this month, you know, to give everyone really nice Christmas presents, you're going to get a bill next month. You know, it's not like, hey, 2018, we're just going to forgive you for all your debts. You know, the IRS say, oh, you don't owe any more taxes, it's 2018. No. Hopefully in 2018 we will get a tax cut according to what they're saying. You know, I haven't figured out, you know, where I fall on the situation, but you know, whatever, doesn't matter. I mean, you know, the Bible tells us about taxes. I don't know if you ever read it. It says, render under Caesar's what Caesar's, render under God's what's God's. So basically, you know, Bible says pay your taxes and be happy. You know, God will get through it. But you know, it's 2018, new year. And that's great. You know, a lot of people are just, I've heard people say, I just can't wait till the new year. The thing about it is next year they're going to say the same thing. I just can't wait till the new year. And really, you know, what we do sometimes is we don't, you know, maybe we're too used to Disneyland and stuff like that. We live in an alternate universe and you know, we think that, well, just because we tell everyone we know Happy New Year, that it's going to be happy. Well, how many times have you guys ever sneezed? Anyone ever sneezed before? Sometimes you have those sneeze attacks. And people, what do they say? God bless you. How many of you feel blessed because you know someone said God bless you? That's about the same thing as saying Happy New Year. You know, it's more of a habit than it is anything else. Just because you say it 5 million times doesn't make it a Happy New Year. But what can make it a Happy New Year is you decide to change what's going on. Now, I know that every new year, a lot of people, you know, they decide, hey, I'm going to eat less, you know, or I'm going to eat more healthy, or I'm going to go to the gym more often, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. I got a scripture for all you guys. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. You know, because a lot of people have their New Year's resolutions and things, what they're going to do. So this is an interesting one for you guys, and nothing wrong with getting healthy and working out, but this says right here, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now is and of that which is to come. To kind of learn a little more, let's go to the New Living Translation, and it says it this way, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. You know, it's okay to go and work out. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, the most important way to actually change your new year and the rest of your life is getting closer to God, is learning more about the scriptures. You know, I just thank God for my heritage, and because I know a lot of the word and I know a lot of scriptures, because each and every day I face, I mean, you know, when I'm facing situations, there's no situation I've ever faced without actually coming to my remembrance a scripture for that situation. Even in the bad times, all of a sudden I remember scripture. Sometimes the only scripture you can remember is count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations and trials and adverse circumstances. But you know what? That's what we have to do. We have to be joyful. You know, my 2017, you know, wasn't probably the best year I had, but you know what? I'm still here. God's still on the throne. Amen. You know, my faith is still in him. And that's the most important part. You know, so what your year wasn't the best one. You know, those things are only temporal. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. But it doesn't, you know, having one more day is not going to change anything. I mean, it's not going to change anything tomorrow. Tomorrow, it's not going to change anything, because it's really not about your year. It's about you making some changes. Now, I realize that a lot of Christians, it seems, they're all out, well, what's the word for the new year? I know people scour the internet and they try to see what brother so-and-so says and sister so-and-so says about the new year. And unfortunately, you know, back in the early 2000s, and we had a lot of good years. I mean, you know, because like 2004, the year for more, you know, then 2005, you know, it's good to be alive, or we're going to thrive, or something like that. 2006, I'm not sure what you did except for pick up sticks. I don't know, you know. But then everyone, 2007 is a year of heaven. Remember all those, you know, things? 2008 is going to be great. 2009 is going to be divine. You know, all those things. But then you move into the teens and no one really knows what to say. I mean, you know, 2018, I mean, what is it going to be? I don't know. You know, and really a lot of times it wasn't words from God. It was people trying to rhyme with the year. I don't know if you guys figured it out. A lot of people I know did not figure it out, because, you know, they're like, oh yeah, they're going to, you know, they're standing on this word or whatever. But you know what? I mean, does it really matter? I mean, does it really matter what somebody says this year is going to be like? Because, you know, really, you have to make your own changes. And really, it starts out from within. And in fact, you know, if you want to make some outward changes, you want to go to the gym, you want to eat better, you want to do, you know, whatever, there has to be something on the inside, a commitment on the inside to do it. Because there's going to be, you know, if you show up to the gym on January the 2nd, there'll be a lot of people there, guaranteed. I've been there before. All right, the 3rd, there'll still be, you know, almost as many people. There are a few people that say, oh, you know, I'm going to take the 3rd off, you know, because, you know. And then the 4th, this gets less, and the 5th, you know. But by February 1, there's a lot of people that aren't doing it anymore. Why? Because they didn't have, you know, all they remember, see, they went to the gym because they made a commitment, you know, and they remember their commitment on January 1st. But then by February 1st, they're like, well, forget this. Because, see, they weren't committed on the inside. But, you know, sometimes I wonder if that's how our Christianity is like. I mean, are we really committed? I mean, we came up and got saved and, you know, we're on our way to heaven and we clapped, you know, but that's only part of it. First of all, God wants to be with you every day, you know, not just the end of the year, not just on Easter and Christmas and New Year's. And, you know, he wants to be with you. He wants to communicate with you. He wants you to communicate with him. He's there for you. I mean, you know, it's interesting that Jesus said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. But a lot of times we never call upon him. We never think about that he's actually right there with us and trying to help us through our situation. But, you know, it doesn't matter what brother so-and-so says, you know, tonight, or tomorrow or whatever word they get. Because, and really, I mean, actually, let's read some more scriptures before I say what I'm going to say. Psalms chapter 37, Psalms 37, 23, and everything I'm going to read tonight, I'm sure you all know. Psalms 37, 23 says this: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Or the steps of a righteous man, you know, it says in the King James. You know, technically this means a righteous person, not just a man. You know, they're ordered of God, and we all believe that, right? That the steps of a righteous, you know, person is ordered of God. But, you know, it's interesting that we all have our own path. So if we're trying to lean on somebody having a word, how we're supposed to live 2018, you know, what is my journey? My journey might be different than your journey. You know, I'm not here to walk your journey. I'm here to walk mine. In fact, another scripture I really like is over in Proverbs chapter 3. I'll read this quite a bit. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." He didn't, you know, so he's directed everyone's path, but my path might be different than your path. I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously our paths intersect at some point in time, if nothing else, at church. You know, but we have our own path. And so you can't let somebody that has some word, you know, like 2004 is going to be more or whatever, you know, how can that lead you? You need to let God direct your path. Now, interesting part about it, if God's directing your path, you're not directing it. Because it's interesting, because whenever the year comes, people start making plans how they're going to make this year the best year ever. Well, you know, you can make plans to spend more time with God, but if God's directing your year, you're not directing. And I understand a lot of us want to be in control, because it's really, I mean, I like to be in control of a lot of things. And, you know, one of the hardest things to do is not be in control. It's just like, well, I've only done it a few times, but there's been a few times I've been on a motorcycle on the back. Now, that was when I was smaller, all right, because, you know, now I'm bigger, and for me being the back of the motorcycle, if I lean the wrong way, it can cause us both to fall. But, you know, it's just, if you've ever been in that situation, I don't like it, because, you know, I'm not really in control. You know, that's why there are some people that, like, you know, if they're in a car, they want to be driving. You know, because if they're not driving, they're not in control. And then you have the people that want to be in control, but they're not driving, and, you know, they're what we call the backseat drivers. They're trying to tell us, you know how to do it. And I remember one time it was my mom's, parents. They went on to be with the Lord now. It was funny, because I called her grandmother. She was down in Dallas, and every time, normally she would always drive. She'd always be the one driving. Granddaddy would always sit in the passenger seat, you know. And I always wondered, why does my grandmother always drive? You know, because in most places, for whatever reason, you know, the male is the one that drives the most. But we got in their car. But on a few occasions, I was in the car when my grandfather was driving. And the whole time, my grandmother is telling my grandfather what to do, how to do it. And she's like, "Well, honey, if you want me to do that, then why don't you, I'll pull over and you can drive." I mean, even funny stuff. Like, I remember one time it was a holiday season. It was somewhere between Christmas and New Year's. And there's a bunch of people that are going the other way. And you know, there wasn't much traffic our way, but the other way is all kinds of traffic. And my grandmother's like, you know, "And where's everybody going?" My grandfather's like, "Well, you want me to pull over there and ask him?" You know, I mean, but she was like the worst backseat driver, or I guess in her case, the right seat driver. And so you know, at a young age, I figured out why my grandmother always drives. You know, and you know, she'd always, like, you know, she'd tell him, you know, he's going to hit the brakes, but she makes sure she tells him like 10 minutes beforehand to hit the brakes or whatever. It was, I mean, it was just miserable riding with her. But, you know, she was a good driver. When she drove, it was fine, because my grandfather just never said anything. He just sat over there and shut up. And so it was more peaceful, you know, and some people want to have a quiet and peaceful house. And so she drove. And it's funny, because as a little kid, you know, I got bigger, but, you know, growing up, you know, throughout the years, I figured out on my own. I never had to ask my mom or my dad why my grandmother drives all the time. And so, interesting part about it is whenever I turned 16, because, you know, they lived in Dallas, and so every time they had an extra car, and, you know, as soon as I turned 16, they actually would let me take the extra car, number one, because they didn't want to drive me around. So it's like, oh, yeah. And so my grandmother always wanted to give me directions. Grandfather never gave me directions. My grandmother always gave me directions. But then I figured out, and she gave me a map and directions. You know, so that way, you know, because I'm just from Tulsa and didn't know Dallas as well. I knew it pretty well because, you know, I was there with a young child, and we traveled there quite a bit. Interesting part about it, I realized one time as I was driving toward downtown Dallas from Garland, the suburb that they lived in, that I'm thinking, you know what? There's probably highways. It's probably an easier way because my grandmother never put me on a highway. Every time, you know, when it first started, nobody, oh, you just take this road and you follow it all, and you'll get there eventually. So then I, you know, one day I pulled my map out, like, hey, I could take this highway and that highway. So one time I started to share with my grandmother, hey, you know, there's highways in Dallas, and you can take those. Oh yeah, but they're always crowded and stuff like that, you know. And I don't like being on highways and all that. So I figured my grandmother never takes the highway. You know, and sometimes that's a good thing. But you know what? That skill actually helped me later on in life, because later on in life, I was in Dallas traffic on one of the highways because it would have been faster to take the highway. And it wasn't faster because it was like a traffic jam on the highway. But guess what? Craig knows all the side roads. And so sometimes you never know. You learn a skill you never figured out, you know, because, I know most of the side roads in Dallas. And in fact, so much so, I actually have helped my mom, who grew up in Dallas, you know, sometimes whenever she's been driving, I'm like, hey, if you take this road over there, he goes, well, how do you know? Because grandmother told me and taught me how to drive on the side roads of Dallas. So it's a skill you thought you'd never need. But you know what? It's interesting. We always like to be in control. But ultimately, God's in control. You know, and a lot of times, you know, things don't go as we think they should. But you know what? You know, we're not dead yet. It's not over. You know, just because it's the end of the year, that doesn't mean your life is over. You're still running your course. You're still moving forward. You know, and the Bible says that he causes all things for good. And so sometimes, you know, you don't understand. But that's why this verse is leaning not to your own understanding. You know, and sometimes we don't understand why, you know, but we have to just trust in the Lord with all our heart. And, you know, we just have to put our faith and trust in Him. And when all else fails, we trust God. And that's why the verse that I always stand on and the verse I still stand on is Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Because if God can't take care of it, I don't know who can. My faith is always in God. You know, it doesn't matter what year it is. It doesn't matter what kind of fancy slogan that somebody came up with for the year. What matters is that my faith is in God. And God will always get me through it. You know, and I always think about this. You know, God hasn't brought me this far to let me down. You know, because sometimes, you know, you're like, well, how's it going to work? I mean, I don't know how many times that I've actually, you know, because like I said, I want to know how. I mean, that's why I went to school. I went to school to learn how. And, you know, I like to know how things work, not just that they work, because sometimes if they break, I want to know how we might can fix it so it can continues to work. You know, but the thing about it is, you know, when it comes to God, sometimes you don't know how. And you don't know how it's going to happen, but you just have to believe anyway. You know, and you just have to put your trust in God that He will cause it to work out. That, you know, that it's not the end, it's only the beginning. You know, and it doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter what you're going through. But a new year is not going to change anything. It's just going to be another year. In fact, if you don't decide that you're going to put your faith and trust in God, it's probably just as crummy as your last year. You know, nothing wrong with exercise, nothing wrong with whatever. But you know what? We need to put our trust in God. We need to let God direct our path. We need to put our faith in God. We need to be wholeheartedly, you know, all about the things of God. And you know, I mean, I believe God. That's simply, you know, where it is. No matter what, I believe God. No matter what, I trust in the Lord. You know, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So it's interesting, you know, he'll show you what to do. He'll lead you on how to make the right decisions and where to go, you know. And you know, sometimes it just seems like as you're walking down that road, maybe you're not really walking, but things will just illuminate. And for me, I always have, you know, some people have out-of-body experiences. I have in-the-shower experiences. For some reason, it seems that God talks to me in the shower. Not because my shower is really anointed. My shower is no more anointed than your shower, you know. But one time I was thinking, you know, why do I feel God talks to me in the shower more than any other place? And I really figured it out, because most of the time when I'm in the shower, I'm not thinking about anything. You know, usually I just woke up and I'm just half awake, you know, kind of the stage between actually being awake and not being awake, you know, you're just like. And the thing about it is when you're in that stage and you're not trying to think about, you know, what's going on, you're not trying to figure out stuff. And you know, because a lot of times, you know, the thing about it, when you like being in control, you're always trying to figure out, well, how am I going to make this work today? How am I? But if you're not thinking about anything, God can talk to you. You know, I've thought about this many times. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's good to pray. Nothing wrong with praying. But a lot of times, the only person that's ever talking is you. We never give time for God to talk because we're always telling God, God, this is what I want. You know, what I need. This is what I want. And, you know, some of you are really good at talking. I'm pretty good at talking myself. So, you know, but the thing about it is when I'm in the shower, I'm not usually talking. I'm not usually thinking. You know, about the only time I'm not thinking. You know, I don't have my cell phone in front of me where I'm able to look at Facebook or Google, whatever, things like that. I do have an iWatch now, and it is waterproof, so I can read text messages. But most of the time I don't, especially whenever you have shampoo, like, you know, in your face, you know, gets in your eyes. I mean, nothing like shampoo in your eyes. In the shower, though, it's interesting. I've had more times where God has talked to me and actually, you know, gave me ideas that I'm thinking, man, I wish I would have thought of that. You know, and it's interesting because, I mean, you know, some people, you know, that's something I always give credit to God. I mean, I didn't think about it, you know, but God was, that's part of him directing my path. That's part of him talking to me, you know, and, now my grandfather Hagen, my dad's dad, you know, he actually said this at one of our Holy Ghost meetings we had in his last, years of life. He said that God talked to him whenever he was shaving more than any other time. You know, he would say, well, I have about half my face shaved and starting the other half. And I remember one story he was telling at this meeting. He said, and thank God he shaved with an electric razor, because he said, I was shaving this side of my face and all of a sudden my hand just started shaking. I mean, it was just like, thank God it was electric razor, because, you know, if not, he might be having nicks all over the place. And man, the power of God hit him while he was shaving. So I don't know, maybe he doesn't think about anything while he's shaving, you know. Unfortunately, whenever I shave, I usually think about stuff. So, you know, by that time I'm more than half, you know, half awake, because I've actually took a shower and, you know, let the water, you know, shine down on me for a while, and I'm usually a little more awake. But you know, it's interesting, you know, and maybe there's places that God talks to you more. But probably it's when you're not thinking. When you're not trying to tell God how it is. You know, a lot of times, you know, when we're really, a lot of times we're trying to tell God how we want it to be. You know, we have our own ideas. Well, God, I think that we should do it this way. But you know what? You know, it's not about what you think. It's about God's plan and his purpose. Now, the other day, so I was in my shower, and this is the word God gave to me, but I don't know if it's for you, because I don't, not unless I don't care about you, do love and care about you, but I wasn't looking for a word for you. And I don't always, you know, I don't always look for a word for the year, because, you know, it's not that important to me. I just look for a word for me. You know, and the word I got is 2018 is going to be a year of miracles. That's one thing that I really, it just breaks my heart when I read people's Facebook feeds and stuff, and people are hurting, people are going through stuff, and I believe we're going to see more miracles, more healings. More situations that you thought couldn't change are going to change overnight. Because God's still the same. Said, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm the Lord your God, and I change us not. God's still the same. And it just seems that we haven't seen as many miracles as we used to see or we hear about or read about or whatever. And maybe it's because we don't expect them. And I think that's one thing is and I remember as a kid, and people would say, well, come back to church with your expectors turned on. So obviously that the pastor knew your expectors were off. And I think that's what happens is we've had our expectors off for a long time. It's time to put your expectors back on. I remember growing up, I used to go to a lot of the ORU basketball games. And there was a saying that Oral Roberts had, and he used to always have on his television program when I was a little kid, is also the side of the Maybe Center. It used to be. I'm not sure if it still is. It said, expect the miracle. Anyone remember Oral Roberts whenever his daily broadcast, and he would say that? Then he'd say, something good is going to happen to you today. Remember that? Sometimes we don't expect a miracle. We would like one, but we don't expect one. It'd be nice if it happened, but we don't expect it. Because, we haven't seen one before, so why should we see one again? But you know what? Just because we haven't seen something doesn't mean that God doesn't want to do it for us. Because there's so many situations, there's so many things, in my life and everyone else's that you need a miracle. Now, sometimes it might not be truly a miracle, there are some things that, like the other day, someone said, it could happen, but it's highly unlikely. And so if it happened, it wouldn't be a miracle because it could happen, but it's highly unlikely it's going to be. But you know what? I believe the highly unlikelies are going to be likelies. But it doesn't matter whether there is a chance it can happen or not a chance. I don't care, if you wake up and they tell you that there's no chance of snow today, it could snow. It's Oklahoma. Anything can happen. A few years ago, we would wake up and we would think to ourselves, there's no chance we're going to have an earthquake. No chance. Now we wake up and we're like, oh, another earthquake. Then people say, hey, did you feel that one? This is Oklahoma. We don't have earthquakes. We have tornadoes. And we live in Tornado Alley, not Earthquake Alley. But, thanks to whatever, I know many people blame it on fracking and all kinds of stuff like that. But, I found out that the people that invest in oil wells, they don't blame it on that. It's something else. I don't know what causes it. I just know that the ground's shaking sometimes. I also know we're living in the last days. That was in the Bible. In the last days we're having earthquakes. So see, we're just fulfilling end time prophecy for some of you end time prophecy people. Whether it's fracking or not fracking whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. Here's something else. I always read to you John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Just because the calendar changes doesn't mean the thief goes away. Some people think, it's 2018. The devil's not going to bother me anymore this year. Really? What kind of planet are you living on? It's interesting because, I love modern technology, but I do know that because of modern technology and different things, especially on like a thing like Facebook, some of you that are on Facebook understand that they have all these, that they now bring you ads and they bring you news based upon what they think you like and, how you vote and whether you're Democrat, Republican, or whatever. So they actually took some Facebook feeds last year, the same amount of time, from someone who was a Democrat and someone who was a Republican. And they said, in what kind of news stories they got. And they said, you would think these two people are living in different universes. But they got different news. And based upon the news that they got, that's how they believed. And so sometimes that we kind of, for whatever reason, we think, well, you know what, the devil's not, can't do anything because it's 2018. And, you know, and I told 28 people, have a happy new year, and it's going to be a happy new year. But you know what, the devil is still going to be here in the new year. And in fact, I mean, I always think about, anytime I think about, you know, the devil and stuff, you know, going on. And I remember the lady who came to my grandfather and said, Brother Hagin, would you pray for me that the devil would quit harassing me? And he said, you want me to pray you're going to die and go to heaven? He goes, no, I'm not ready to die and go to heaven. Said, the only way you're going to get rid of the devil is to go to heaven. All right? And so as long as we're here on the earth, the devil is still here. And, you know, it's pretty easy to remember that, because anyone that's read any part of the Bible, if you read Genesis, the first couple of chapters, you find out that Adam and Eve were tempted by the devil right in the Garden of Eden. So in the beginning, the devil was. And he's going to be there all the way through till the end. You know, then you read about the lake of fire and all that kind of stuff, but he's here. You know, and a lot of times too, and I believe that it is interesting that especially younger people don't realize demonic influences. You know, and I guess as you travel more, you see more demonic influences. You know, things that you didn't think you would see, you see. But you know what? The devil is still out there. He's still real, and he still influences us, and he uses things to influence us. You know, it's so easy to influence people's minds. Just based on, you know, in some way, the way the devil influences is he makes us, he gives us a false reality. You know what? That it's all okay. It was all okay because we know our God. All right, and that makes things okay. But the devil's still there to steal, kill, and destroy next year, and the year after that, and the year after that. But you know, really, the great thing about a new year is it kind of just, you know, now for me, I kind of live on a fiscal year. Some of you that I have an accounting degree, and you know, fiscal year is you basically choose any date, and you decide that's the end of your year and the start of next year. And for a lot of companies, it might be July 1st or whatever. For me, September 1 is my fiscal year. And you know, it happened, you know, because as a kid, you know, school started, in September or end of August or whatever. It was always a new school year. You know, now I'm a school teacher, so to speak, and so it's kind of this, you know, because summertime ends, you know, and you get back to reality. You know, something, you know, during the summertime, that you know, I have other things I do, and then you know, in September I start teaching again. So you know, it's different reality. So that's usually kind of my year. I live on a school year. I mean, so January is kind of the middle of the school year, so it's not that big a deal. Just another day. But you know, really the thing about the end of one year is really it gives an opportunity to think about what happened last year and maybe make some changes for next year. But ultimately, if you don't change the inside, it doesn't matter. The outside's not going to change. And that's why we have to know who we are in Christ Jesus. Because that's what's going to get you through 2018 and 2019 and 2020. You know, the year you're going to have plenty. See, coming up, you have some good rhyming years, you know. So, but, you know, right now, 2018 doesn't really, you know, maybe it's a year to get you clean. I don't know. I guess if you're having trouble with drugs and alcohol, it might be a good year for you. Or if you hadn't taken a shower in a while, it might be a good year for you. People might sit next to you because you're clean. All right. But the scripture that I like to use at the end of every year, going into beginning of year, is Philippians chapter 3. The words of Paul, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, and Paul says this. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Going from the New Living Translation, kind of more new and living for us, it says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." So you know what? Sometimes we have to forget about what went on in the past. Whether it was good, whether it was bad, doesn't matter. You know, you know, it's done with. You realize we can't change the past? I don't know how many times I've told people, you know, sometimes we've done things we wish we hadn't have, but we can't change the past. I don't care how many movies you watch, you know, with time machines, you know, and stuff like that, or I don't care if you were a Back to the Future fan back in the 80s. You can't go back and change the past. What you did is what you did. Now, maybe it was stupid. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe you did a lot of good things in the past, but you know what? And, you know, a lot of people want to live on their laurels. Well, 5 years ago, I led 100 people to the Lord. Well, great. 5 years ago, that was awesome. What did you last year? Well, you know, I've kind of retired from that. You know, people don't usually say that, but I did that one time, but then I moved on. Or, you know, it doesn't matter what you've done. You know, and I always kind of think about the old Ford commercial, and they said, "Have you driven a Ford lately?" Do you remember that commercial? I mean, I like them, different taglines and stuff like that. And the reason they said that was because some people who drove a Ford before, they didn't like the Ford. So they want to know if you've driven one lately because, you know, it's better, it's different. It's just kind of like the company that doesn't exist anymore, Oldsmobile. You know, this is not your father, your father's Oldsmobile. You know, because they were trying to reach a younger generation, and what happened? They went out of business. They really go out of business because GM still makes other products, and you know, most of their cars turned into Chevys. That's what happened in NASCAR, at least. People that drove Oldsmobile started driving Chevys. Of course, Pontiac was also there, but they don't exist anymore either, which is upsetting because my first car was a Pontiac Trans Am. That was my first car. And so you can now have a Pontiac Trans Am, and we've seen what they do is they take a Chevy Camaro and they retrofit and make it look like a Trans Am. But it costs more money because you have to buy the Camaro first and then you have to put all the parts on it. So just buy a Camaro if that's what you want. But you know what? It doesn't matter what happened, you know, last year. And so, you know, it's a good time whenever end of the year to say, you know what? Forget about 2017 or 2016 or 2015 or whatever happened. You know, forget about that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to reach forward to do what God wants me to do, to fulfill His plan in my life. You know, maybe if you hadn't been faithful to giving toward God, you know, maybe say, you know what, I'm going to change things. I'm going to change who I am. I'm going to change how I think. I'm going to. I always tell people one good thing to do is just be more nice. You know, my favorite scripture is Jesus Christ went about doing good. That means He was a good guy. You know, I mean, He wasn't always griping at everybody and mean to everybody. He was a good guy. He always, you know, and I believe that we should do more good. You know, just be happy. You know, I found out too, the more happy you are, the more you can change other people's day. You know, and here's something. This is, many of you haven't thought about this, but just because you wake up and the first thing out of your mouth is, this is a day the Lord has made, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, doesn't mean that you're rejoicing and be glad in your day. Because I've heard a lot of, you know, see people, you know, they start saying all these things and they think it's, you know, it's just like Happy New Year is not going to change your year. Well, you know, your saying is not going to change your day. The way you rejoice and be glad is actually think about, you know, how God is with you and getting you through the day. And even if it feels like a crummy day, it's just like, you know, this morning, I actually, on my way to church this morning, I'm thinking, man, if I didn't have to be at church, I might not be there. You know, today was a good day to watch it online. Yeah. You know, but then you think about, you know, well, at least we don't have 23 inches of snow on the ground. Chris, actually, I got 23 inches of snow. I got a 4x4 vehicle. Why do I care? You know, I don't care if anyone else can't drive in the weather. The only thing I don't like is that everyone steals the bread and the milk out of the grocery store. You know, and here's the thing. Maybe this doesn't happen to you. It happens to me. Every time we have one of those things where it's going to, you know, you need to get ready for the thing and you go out and get bread and milk and all that stuff. As soon as you get it all, the snow doesn't come. Just like the one year, man, we had an ice storm, you know, a couple of years ago, and the power went out in my house, you know, and they said, well, and the electric company said it could be a couple of days to have power. Now, thank God I have two fireplaces in my house, and so it was, you know, keeping me pretty warm, and had no power. So I finally trekked out to, and you know, it wasn't easy, but I found a lot of them. Flashlights and stuff, and, you know, and batteries, which I couldn't find. And then we finally located a generator that couldn't power the whole house, but actually could keep the heat on or whatever. Got it all hooked up. So now I got my flashlights, I got a generator, I got family members that their house is still cold over my house. You know, I got plenty of food, and an hour later the power comes back on. And I wasted a bunch of money. And I should have sat there in the cold weather in the dark. Forget about all these flashlights and stuff, you know. You know, I mean, you know, I can go out to my car to charge my phone, so that's all I really cared about anyway. But as always happens to me. But, you know, the thing about it is, it's cold, but it could be worse. You know, and really in life, you know, even during my worst times, I'm thinking, you know what, it could be worse. You know, it could be worse. You know, but, you know, and then I think about times, you know, I'm thinking about, you know what, about the people who don't know God like I know God? What about people that don't know Jesus? What about people that they don't have hope like I have hope? You know, I know this is only temporal in my life. They might think it's permanent in theirs. You know, and it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, maybe the doctors have said things that you don't really like, but you know what? You know, well, not being moved by what they say. Doesn't matter what they say. I'm only moved by what I believe and what I know. I hear my grandfather all the time. You know, he always would say these words, I'm a stickler for the word. What does the word say? And that's why I know so many scriptures, because, you know, every time I go through a situation, I look for what the word says. And the word says that I'm victorious, that I'm more than a conqueror. The word says that by his stripes I'm healed. You know, so the word says, you know, in the end, you know, everything works out. It'll all be okay. You know, and it's interesting when you're reading here that, you know, Apostle Paul, you know, he talks about, I mean, I always said that Apostle Paul would have been a good coach, you know, because he's a very good motivational speaker. You know, and everything he went through, you know, he's like accounted all joy. You know, everything, you know, I'm going to finish my course with joy. You know, and you think about the Apostle Paul's life, and, you know, I mean, there's a lot of great things happened. He opened a lot of churches and mentored a lot of people. And, you know, and really, he's still mentoring us today. I mean, I thank God for the Apostle Paul and you know, and what he went through. But, you know, remember, I mean, you know, he was beaten. He was left for dead. He was shipwrecked. I mean, you know, I mean, he had many obstacles, or my dad calls them obstacles, you know, that were in his way. But ultimately, he overcame them all because he kept a good attitude and he knew who's God. You know, and I think that's what important to get through your 2018, to have a good attitude and know your God. You know, no, it doesn't matter what it seems like. It doesn't matter that it seems that things aren't working out. You know what? I'm my faith is in him. I trust him. I lean not to my own understanding, and I trust him to get me through it, and he will. He'll get you through it, every situation, every circumstance. And I really do believe, I mean, I know that 2018, I'm going to see more miracles in my life. And, you know, because, I mean, I hate it. I mean, you know, especially I see kids that are hurting. I mean, you know, I mean, I want to see people, you know, walk that can't walk. I want to see people see that can't see. I mean, you know, I want to see great things happen. And they will, if we believe. The Bible says all things are possible to them that believe. So all we have to do is believe. You know, and I told someone just the other day, and I know I said it, you know, preaching, you know, it's not my responsibility to figure out how it's going to happen. It's all my responsibility to believe. That's all, I mean, that's where my responsibility ends. As long as I can believe, that's all I have to do. God has to figure out the rest. I have the easy part. Only believe. All things are possible to them that believes. I believe. And so that's all I have to do is believe. It doesn't say all things are possible if you can figure it out. You know, and I think that's how a lot of times, you know, we almost think this verse says, because we're trying to figure it out. And we say, well, yeah, I'm believing, but you're believing, and all the time, you know, you're worrying about it. Because if you're believing, why are you worried about it? You're worried about it because you don't believe it's going to happen. But you just said you believe. So do you believe or not believe? I mean, you either believe or you don't. And if you're worried about a situation, and I get it, things are concerning sometimes. But you know what? That's why we have to put things in God's hands. You know, and sometimes, you know, I've told people this. I mean, I know that there at our ministry, we have a thing called Healing School, and I've had opportunity to speak a lot at Healing School. And a lot of times the people come to Healing School, the doctors basically have said, we can't do anything. I mean, you know, there's basically nothing medically we can do. And they get to a place where they have two choices, believe God or die. You know, and sometimes I think that's, you know, not that it's a better place because you don't want to be facing death. But you know what? When it comes to financial blessings, it's like, well, I'd like to have these needs met. But you know what? If they don't, I'm still going to make it. So what? You know, but, it, you know, if you don't have any other choice, you believe that or you die. You know, but... And so you need to act like there is no other choice, because there's not. Only believe. You just believe. It doesn't say to do anything else but believe. And you know, that's why I like the scripture. Having done all to stand, we stand. Never says to turn around. Never says do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around. Put your right foot in, put your right foot out. It doesn't say that. It just says stand. What do you stand? You're standing on the promises of God. You're believing God's word. You know, and, you know, it doesn't matter what happened in 2017 or 2016. It's time to decide, you know what? I'm putting my faith in God, and I'm going to have a good year. I don't need people to tell me Happy New Year for me to have a good year. I don't have to eat black-eyed peas. Thank God. Maybe you like black-eyed peas. I don't like black-eyed peas, and, you know, it's not really my favorite meal. But I guarantee if I didn't have anything else to eat, I would eat black-eyed peas. You know, because, you know, if that's all we have, that's what I would eat. Because I want to sustain, you know, my body. Because, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm withering away. I mean, I tell my wife, I'm just so hungry, I'm about to wither away. I mean, I can feel my body eating its own self. You know, it's just, I'm kind of joking, but, you know, because she looks at me like, yeah, sure. Maybe you should wither for two or three more days, and then we'll eat. So, anyway, but you know, I mean, I'm going to have a good year. And I'd like you to have a good year, but you really, it's not up to me. It's just really not. I mean, I can tell you all Happy New Year when you leave, and that's not going to make your New Year happy. Ultimately, the only thing that's really going to make your New Year happy is you trusting God. And where you're at with God. You know, and, you know, you might get some joy out of sharing the gospel with people, you know. But ultimately, you have to make your own year. I'm not going to make your year. Nobody else is going to make your year. You know, and you know, just because it turns midnight doesn't change anything. This means that you're getting older. You know, and the older you get, and many of you in this room are older than me. You know, it just seems, man, these years keep plowing faster and faster and faster. I mean, before long, we're going to be shooting fireworks for the 4th of July. Then we're going to be back at Christmas time again. It just, this happens, you know. It's just like, you know, it's just, you know, just last year, it was Y2K. Remember that? That was 18 years ago, guys. Think about that. And, you know, if you're in the computer industry, you know a lot about Y2K because the whole world is going to fall apart. In fact, some of you still have the food that you bought. Good thing it was, you know, last forever, so you can, you know, so you can use it. But, you know, because, you know, I'm sure Y3K is going to come up if you're still around. But, you know, it's funny because everybody was all concerned about Y2K and the world falling apart and everybody saying that. But the world didn't fall apart, you know, because God's not going to let it fall apart. You know what? And ultimately, I don't care if everyone else's world is falling apart. Mine's not. Because I have God. And my faith is in God, you know. And you know, I looked at the 91st Psalm. It talked about 1,000 may fall at one side, 10,000 the other side. But, you know, it's not going to come near me. Why? Because I trust in the Lord. You know, I lean on him. You know, and I'm going to get through this. And 2018 is going to be a wonderful year. And 2019 will be better. And 2020 will have plenty. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your life. And we thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, to help us to understand that for us to have a great 2018 and 2019 and 2020 and every year, that we need to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And we need to lean not to our own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all our heart. Father, we just thank you for everyone's life that's here. And we thank you, Father, that as they have situations and circumstances in their life, Father, you're working right now in their life. You're taking care of those situations, taking care of those circumstances. You're helping them through the battle. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing in our life. And Father God, we thank you, Father, if anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of him. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you know Jesus. Amen. I don't see any hands. Father God, we just thank you right now for if anyone is here does not know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, that we thank you for laborers coming across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you that they'll make a change. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.